Coach Chev, you're on with Caden McFarland, Pat Jones, Big Game Bill Haston here on the Pat Jones Show. Thank you so much for your time. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me back on the show. I love coming on the show every week.
Absolutely.
Coach Chev, again, thank you for taking the time to do this. Let me ask you this. Obviously, your background in Colorado and in other places, who would you say is the most influential person in your professional life?
You know, I had the opportunity to play for Dan Reeves when I was in the Falcons, and I thought the way that Coach Reeves like handled the team and handled the players, you know, I thought that was someone that had a big influence just on me going into coaching. You know, I just had a lot of respect for Coach when I played for him, and that would be someone that, you know, really was a big part of my development. And then when I got into coaching, the next big part was I had the honor to work for Tom Kraft, who I think is one of the top junior college coaches in America. Highest winning percentage, and I think in the history of junior college football, and he won like 7 state titles in California at Palomar and Riverside. So those were 2 big influences just on me, one from a player standpoint and then one from a coaching development standpoint.
I remember meeting Kraft. We signed, 100 years ago, Stillwater signed a quarterback from Palomar, you know. But a heck of a guy. Great football man.
Yeah, great coach, for sure, great coach.
Coach, game week for you guys, taking on Delta State. First of all, I guess, you know, preseason camp, you came through. How are you sort of injury-wise, if you will? How do you feel about this group as you head for a game day on Friday?
Feel really good. You know, a veteran group of guys that have played a lot of football on offense and defense. And it's been a hot camp. You know, it's been a really hot summer here in Tulsa and Oklahoma area. So getting the game moved from noon to 6 p.m. on a Friday was a good thing for the player safety. You know, but we feel really good. You know, like I said, it's been a really, you know, really competitive camp. I feel good about what we got on both sides of the ball. And I know a lot about this team. Sometimes as a head coach, you don't know what you got until you start playing. But a lot of these guys have played a lot of college football for us here at MSU. And so I'm excited to see those guys get a chance to go play against someone else.
So you were drafted by the Browns, right? So I'm going to veer away from the Riverhawks just long enough to get your reaction to you drafted there in 99, which I guess was first season back in Cleveland for the Browns. And then this morning, probably your reaction was, I'm glad I'm not the head coach of the Browns right now. but the announcement that Todd, Coach Monken, is going to go with, and it felt like maybe an ownership influenced decision maybe, but is going to go with Deshaun Watson over Shedeur Sanders at quarterback. And as a guy who spent a little time with the Browns organization, have you tracked that very closely as you can in the midst of getting ready for your season? But what was your reaction to that? And aren't you happy you don't have that, you have the stability you have at quarterback versus that kind of a situation?
You know, I think it's twofold, right? Professional football is a business. And I think when they've invested $230 million into Deshaun Watson and haven't gotten much on the return, I think ownership and people, I'm sure there's been some conversations within the building that said, hey, you know, we still owe this guy $90-something million. And if we cut him, we have $90 million worth of dead money on our cap. So I think the competition was probably pretty close between Deshaun and Shedeur. I mean, I'm a fan of Shedeur. I think Shedeur is going to be a good player in the National Football League. But I think from an ownership standpoint and an investment standpoint, they probably said, hey, if Deshaun's healthy, let's give him a chance to see if he can do it. And if he can't, then we know that we have a quarterback that can go in there and move the ball and score points. And so I'm sure there's a lot of conversation between Coach Monken and the general manager and ownership. And, you know, when people invest that kind of money in pro sports, they want to see a return on their investment.
No scrimmages. Well, there are scrimmages, but I don't think tape has probably been shared. I mean, what do you know about Delta State, this team you've got coming in Friday for the opener?
You know, it's going to be, like I told our D coordinator, Coach Atwell, you know, we don't know a ton about them because it's a new staff. You know, Coach Dean came over from, and he's a veteran coach that's coached a lot of football at Valdosta and West Georgia and other top D2s in the country. And you know, they're a program that won seven games last year under Coach Cooley, who left to go to Ole Miss to be the assistant to the head coach. And so, you know, we know a little bit about their personnel, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of unscouted looks in the first game, like most openers, you know, especially when you have turnover on the staff. And so there's going to be some adjustments made in the game on offense, defense, and special teams, because you're going to get a lot of unscouted looks, you know. But I told our players, you know, we got to just hold true to our foundations of our offense, hold true to our foundations and our rules on defense, and you got to play football. And, you know, we're excited about doing that.
Coach, speaking of staff changes, did you all have any changes out there staff-wise?
Just a little bit. You know, we brought in a new defensive line coach, and I brought in a new special teams coordinator, but our D coordinator's back, Coach Atwell. You know, I run the offense, and our O-line coach is back. And I would say the majority of our staff's back. We added a couple pieces that I thought strengthened our staff. And, you know, there's a lot of continuity, which I think is key for player development, is trying to keep your core pieces of your coaching staff together. It's hard in college football. It's hard, I think, in any organization, but if you can keep the core pieces together longer, you're going to get a better development overall and long-term.
When you watched Indiana do what it did last season, and when you had reached the finish line of your remarkable season, and then you were able to kind of watch the big schools finish their season, did you just sit there and nod your head because you can relate to some extent or a great extent with what they've pulled off up there? Because I said it before with Ori Phillips that it's what you have done there, what you did there last year, and what you are doing there now is truly an under the radar miracle in college football, for you to take a program that had been 6-49 before last season, and 2019 was just one of the most painful experiences I've ever seen of any football team, but to somehow breathe hope into the program and into the fan base. But I see, I don't think that the Northeastern State revival is any less a miracle and respectable and admirable, whatever.
Well, I appreciate that. I think, you know, what Coach Cignetti's done at Indiana has been unbelievable for college football. I think it gives all the non-blue bloods a chance to say, hey, we can go win the national championship. And that really wasn't the case, I think, before last year when Coach Cignetti and that program was able to go on that huge run. You know, and what we've been able to do at NSU, it's been, you know, obviously it's been a big turnaround. But, you know, first and foremost, it goes down to you got to recruit good football players, right? The first thing you got to do is you got to be able to recruit good football players from Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, the surrounding areas. And then the next thing you got to do is you got to retain and develop that talent. You know, those are critical factors into building a football program the right way. I think nowadays in college sports, everybody wants to win right now, but they forget that there's steps to it, and you really have to go back to the old way of doing things, and that's recruiting, retention, and development. And that's what we focused on as a staff. That's what we focus on with our team. And now going into year three, I truly believe we've built a really solid football program, not just a football team, but we have a solid football program in Tahlequah. We've done it the right way. We retain the pieces the right way. And, you know, I think everybody wants to get off to a good start. I mean, in order for us to make a run this year, you got to win the first one. And so we're focused on our matchup on Friday. But, you know, I've been really, really pleased with what we've been able to do in a short amount of time at NSU.
So what I'm about to say, I know that you already know this. I know that your personnel staff already knows this. But the next, let's just say that the current 9th and 10th grade classes in the Tulsa area are so deep, Coach, with talent. Like, I don't remember ever this many young guys. You take a look at them, and you know they're going to play next-level football. And this coincides with the fact that so many FBS schools now rely so heavily on the portal. And I'm thinking a school like Northeastern State might really benefit over the next 5 years from this sudden jolt of talent in the Tulsa area. And I see guys like Kel Charbonneau go in there right away and have the impact he had. I'd love to see Carson Kirby one day, you know, run your offense. There's so many Tulsa area guys on your roster, but I mean, don't you feel like, though, the trickle-down effect to D2 is you have a chance to really bring in a lot of guys who can play?
Yeah, no question. I think, and that's by design, right? So, you know, we signed the most Oklahoma kids we've signed since I've been here last year, and that coincides with the fact that, one, we're winning, and two, that they believe in what we're doing, our vision for the program. And I think, you know, NSU was so bad for so long that Tulsa high school kids didn't really consider going to NSU because they didn't really want to be a part of a program that wasn't winning. And so when you can breathe life into a program, I think people want to stay close to home. Tahlequah is a great town, you know, with the lakes and the rivers, and it's a really safe town, and the people of Tahlequah are great community members. We got great leadership on our campus with our president and our vice presidents and our athletic director, Coach Sizemore. I truly believe that the time is now for NSU football, but I think the time is now for NSU sports in general. You know, we've added six sports to NSU, and, you know, wrestling program and women's volleyball and you know, the rodeo, you know, it's going to start up here pretty soon as well. And so I think that the time is now for NSU athletics as a whole. And if we can all come together and, you know, pool our resources, then great things can happen here at NSU, and we could keep all the hometown people home instead of having them leave the state.
I can't speak to the rodeo talent coming up through the 9th and 10th grade levels, but I'm telling you, Coach, it's loaded up, man. I've never seen this many young guys who will – Coach, Bixby's got a 14-year-old who won't even be 15 until – May.
Bill wants to be your director of scouting, Coach.
Yeah, no, I don't. But no, and I'm
come on down.
It's a statement of the obvious.
Get you signed up.
Yeah, I know that Coach Cheverini and his guys know what's going on up here, but it does seem like with the emphasis on portal personnel that, you know, you got a chance to really come in and really do really well over the next few years. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with the portal, the way it's working in college football, a lot of high school kids are under-evaluated. And, you know, we want them to understand that if they don't get that Division I offer, then NSU is the top program in Oklahoma. And we've built that pretty quickly, you know, and we're playing top opponents this year. I think it's the toughest schedule in Division II college football, and I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to go on the road and showcase our program on a national stage.
All right, before we let you go, maybe just a couple of quick hitters on some of the top players you've got on the roster this year. You bring back Donnie Smith, the quarterback, which I know keeping him had to be just huge for continuity within the offense. And then Marvelous Owens, defensive back, who I think is kind of All-American level. Those two guys, what can be next for them? How can they be even better players for you this year than last?
You know, I think Donnie played his best football down the stretch last year. And, you know, after he beat UCO, you know, in Edmond, I think that's when he really got confidence that he can be a top-notch quarterback in this country. And he showcased that over the course of the season. And, you know, he threw for close to 600 yards in the bowl game and 5 touchdowns. And, you know, he's really taken that leadership role this offseason going into the 2026 season, and he's voted a team captain. And so I'm expecting Donnie to take his game to another level. You know, Marvis Owens is a 6-foot corner that can play man-to-man, can play zone. He's got great cover skills, but he's really got a high football IQ and understands concepts and understands where he fits in zone coverage. And so, you know, those are two of the guys. You know, we also have Justice Gillum, who started every game last year as a true freshman at center, which is tough to do in college football. I think he's going to be probably one of the top centers in college football. Okay. Cameron Jackson started as a true freshman last year for us at X receiver, and he's a phenomenal talent with speed down the field. Deese Roberson was the team MVP, he was the game MVP in the bowl game, had close to 200 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns, I think, in the bowl game last year. And so he's another returning threat that we have. You know, Kale Charbonneau led the team as a true freshman in tackles for us, who's going to have an unbelievable sophomore season. And Jordan Tolbert, you know, we had 4 interceptions as a true freshman safety last year for us. So we have a lot of big pieces back, and I'm excited about the development of this team. But I'm also like, and Coach Jones, you know this too. As a head coach, you know when you can push your guys a little bit harder because they've been with you and they trust you.
Sure.
And this team, I know, trusts me, and I trust them. And so I've been able to push them a little bit harder than usual because they know what the standard is. And so that's been fun to do this camp because they know that when I say something, I'm very transparent with them, and they understand that they're going to get the results they want if they listen and follow through on what they're doing on the football field. So it's been a fun team to coach this camp.
There you go.
And that's, I mean, it's awesome to hear how many of those guys have been in your program for multiple years now. Is there one or two that are newcomers who, even if you watched all of NSU's games last year, you wouldn't necessarily know they were there? Guys who transferred in, or a freshman who you've seen enough from in camp that, hey, I think this guy's going to be good for us.
Yeah, we got two true freshmen on offense. You know, Mikhail Trotter, who is a tailback from South Oak Cliff High School, who I think was one of the best running backs in Texas. He actually turned down a couple small FCS Division I offers to come to NSU because he saw how he developed Ramon McKinney last year. And then the second one on offense is Jalen Moore, who is a receiver from South Oak Cliff, who reminds me a lot of Cameron Jackson, smart, tough, and stretch the field vertically. Both those guys right now have been running with the ones, you know, which is tough to do on a program that's in year three, but they're talented kids on offense. And then defensively, I thought we've done a really good job of, like, retaining the guys that we had from last year, but also developing our defensive line. Solomon Wright is a Division I bounce back. You know, his dad played, Kenyatta played at Oklahoma State, and Solomon is a kid from Bayan who is eligible and is going to cause a lot of issues on the defensive line. You know, we signed two junior college transfers from Blinn College, and the Williams brothers, and Deuce and Trey, and I think they're going to be impact players on the defensive line. And you know, I believe that we have a solid football team, and I'm excited to see these guys get a chance to compete against someone else. I know they're tired of hitting each other.
That's awesome. Okay, so Friday night, Delta State. It's going to be the only home game for a while. You guys will be back October the 3rd. Tough slate. You know, a lot of those road games are against really quality teams. But, Coach, hope you guys have a great opener. We'll be talking to you, and we're really excited to have NSU football here on the Sports Animal Family and Networks 99.9 FM, and then the Coaches Show 97.1 here on Thursday. So thank you for your time. We'll be talking to you, and best of luck this week.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to talking with you guys soon.
Thank you, Coach. Get after him.
There you go.